And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 169, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And I am back, folks. Yep, back from 2 weeks in Scotland, where I must have been on the bad side of the thunder god or something, because I had some pretty dire weather while I was there. But there were some, you know, good times and not so good times based on, you know, how much it was storming. Got caught in a hurricane. Had 4-7 gales a couple places, and yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know, it was relaxing because there were days when I really couldn't do that much, but I tried to get around and about as much as possible, and generally did kind of unwind from the tightly wound life that I have right now, especially at work. Now, there was a particular high point, and that was the very first day, my first full day of vacation, as I put it, and I actually got to meet up with Chris Bendorf, who is one of our listeners, and Chris lives in Dublin, Ireland, and I had a 6-hour layover in Dublin, and so I contacted Chris and said, hey, are you still in Ireland? He said, yes, and he came to the airport, and we took the bus together into the center of Dublin and had lunch and wandered around and even did a little bit of geocaching. And that was kind of fun to meet a listener. I'm always happy to meet listeners. And that was kind of a fortuitous circumstance that allowed me to do so while I was overseas. So, yeah, a good time was had by all. It was really nice meeting you, Chris. And, of course, when I was gone, you got a little vacation content. Surprise! Yeah, I decided that I'm going to start putting together the mythological segments that we do every ninth episode of the show, put them into the order that they are in the book, and try to kind of do from the beginning the complete Norse mythology. And I figured that each of those episodes is going to be about 40 minutes or so. I didn't want to do too much longer than that, and it's just because I think that some of them are kind of dense, and it's also kind of the same type of reading. And I didn't want them to be so long that they would be boring and you start to, your eyes start to glaze over or whatever. And I think that 40 minutes is probably about the outside, you know. And of course, if you have opinions on that, let me know, because I'm going to be re-recording a lot of the segments. I've been listening back to some of these segments, and there's been, I know I have one upcoming in part two that had a lot of extraneous noise, and so I'm going to re-record that one. And as we go along, if there's something I don't like about it, I'll probably be making changes, making edits, re-recording. And so you're going to be getting some new content. I'm going to try to reserve those collection episodes for times when I have to take a bye week or something like that, if my life gets a little bit hectic. And you know, it has been hectic, and it's going to continue to be hectic. So hopefully, I can, you know, cobble a few of these together and have them in the can and have it ready to go in case, you know, I go on vacation again or so forth. All right. So, of course, we do have an issue of Thor here to cover. So let's just go ahead and move along with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we are covering Thor number 175. Incidentally, this issue has been reprinted a few times, most notably in The Essential Thor Volume 4. And in Marvel Masterworks Thor Volume 9. Has a cover date of April of 1970. Retailed for 15 cents. Cover art is by Marie Severin and John Verporten. Marie Severin, of course, being one of the classic Marvel bullpen artists. And up to this point, really had kind of done more of the humor comics, like Not Brand Ech and that kind of thing. I've always been a kind of a fan of Marie Severin, especially as an inker. So this is interesting that she's doing pencils. And it's interesting because she's obviously trying to draw in a somewhat Kirby-esque style, but It's not really. I mean, it's very distinctively not Kirby. So, I mean, it's kind of jarringly not Kirby. And John Verporten, of course, was Marvel's production manager for a number of years. And, yeah, this is, I think, his first appearance here in the Thor book. Anyway, the cover blurb says, "The Fall of Asgard." And it shows Thor kind of laying on the floor. And there's a gray pedestal in front of him. And standing up on the pedestal with a sword in hand, pointed at Thor's Adam's apple, is none other than the evil Loki. And cowering behind Thor, we see the Warriors Three, some guy in a orange helmet, and what very much looks like the swordsman from from the Avengers, kind of lurking there in the background. And we open up to the splash page where we have the title of the story, "The Fall of Asgard." And of course, we have the credits, produced by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Bill Everett was the inker, and Artie Simek was the letterer. The splash page shows a bunch of, I guess, mobster types hiding behind this big rock. And it looks like they're getting ready to rob this milk truck. I don't know. Is this like a 60s version of an 18-wheeler? Not really sure. But it's just a big truck with a bunch of lights on it. And Thor is standing above them on a big boulder. And the mobsters are talking here.
"Get ready, you guys. Here comes our pigeons.
This'll be duck soup for us."
"Okay, what are we waiting for? Let's go."
"Wait, you can make duck soup out of pigeons? That doesn't make sense." And they leap in front of the truck, which amazingly doesn't run them all over. And they're like,
"Hold it right there. We're going to save you the trouble of unloading that stuff."
And it doesn't really say what the truck is carrying. And meanwhile, Thor is watching from kind of higher up this cliff face. And he's saying, "The time hath come for the Thunder God to halt yon brazen crime. But let it be done with injury to none." He wraps his hammer on the ground. It creates a big shockwave because Thor has to speak the obvious. He says, "A simple shockwave shall serve to suit my purpose." Yeah, that's kind of hard to say. And he creates a shockwave and it's knocking the mobsters over. And they're like,
"What was that?"
"Something's knocked the choppers right out of our hands."
"The whole road's shaking like crazy."
And all of a sudden, there were a bunch of cops there. And I don't know if they're all the cops are in the truck. It's what it looks like. And the cops are all pouring out of the truck.
"We were expecting you creeps. Real nice of you to show up right on schedule." "It was a trap. We ran right into it," say the mobsters.
"But what about the earthquake? How come it only hit us?"
And Thor comes walking out from his hiding place. And he's carrying a bunch of guns in his arms. Says,
"'Tis because I muffled the power of mighty Mjolnir."
And the cops are like,
"Much obliged, mister. If not for you, we might have been faced with a deadly shootout. You'll never catch me laughing at those threads you wear again." So this was going to be a foolproof caper, huh?
To get the mobsters blaming each other for the problem.
"Why didn't you tell us we'd be running into that hammer-carrying powerhouse?"
"Who knew he'd be here? I thought all that jazz about him and that Asgard joint was just fairy tales."
And we then shift scenes, and we are in the distant domain of Asgard. Actually, we're not. We're in the Norn realm. And we have at least two of the Warriors Three. We have Hogun and Fandral, and none other than Baldur the Brave. Oh, I see Volstagg's there too. So we have the Warriors Three and Baldur. And Hogun is, of course, suspicious.
"Carnilla, Queen of the Norns, hath summoned us once again."
And Baldur pipes in, "Grasp then thy weapons and prepare for battle. No longer shall her strange enchantments hold us captive in this land." And so they arrive in the Carnilla's chamber, whatever. And we have Carnilla here looking very Endora in Bewitched looking. And we have Hag. She's stirring some sort of liquid mist goop in a giant clay pot, or I don't know what it is. It looks like a fire pit or something.
"Have a care, mistress. Thy captives now stand forth."
"Captives no longer, say we," says Baldur. "Our wounds having healed, we now depart."
"In peace or by force of arms," says Hogan. "The choice is thine."
"Then get thee gone. What use have I for such as thee?" says Carnilla. "One of thee I did find fair and pleasing to mine eyes. But he is pledged to Asgard, and I am foe of Asgard, for I am queen of Norns."
And Baldur's kind of curious about this.
But why? Why must there be enmity between thy domain and Odin's realm?
Because, alas, it is so ordained.
Wow, talk about not really giving a straight answer.
Then there be nothing more to say, says Balder. Beauteous queen, we bid thee now farewell.
The lion heart of Volstagg hath been cheated. 'Twas battle I did crave.
Then let us return and sound the challenge, says Hogan.
Nay, Hogan, nay. Though I be fearless, I must show mercy to my foes.
And they go wandering away, and Cornelis having a little temper tantrum here.
Little doth Balder dream the danger that awaits him.
The Queen of the Norns in love with a smooth-faced Asgardian. Never did hag think to see this day. But thy love will be short-lived, for Loki waits to strike.
Be gone, thou wretched crone. Get thee from my sight. If Balder falls, then dies Carnilla's heart.
And we shift scenes, and we see the Warriors Three and Balder, and they're kind of riding through the wilderness or whatever. And I guess they're riding kind of fast, and Hogan's like, I don't know. They're kind of riding through this landscape, and Fandral's like, why dost thou speed, brave Balder?
Hast thou so soon forgot, says Balder. 'Tis time for the fateful Odin's sleep, and if Thor be not in Asgard, then who shall defy the evil Loki? But soft, behold how the very ground doth tremble.
So apparently there's an earthquake going on.
Methinks we be too late, says Fandral. The time is already past. For the mountain giants be on the march.
And we see giant legs, and they're kind of stomping through this wilderness, and they're hiding, kind of hiding behind rocks and stuff as they go. And the giants are, I guess they're going to Asgard. They're going, getting ready to attack. And giants are shouting, onward to Asgard! And the four guys are kind of laying low a little bit.
We have not the power to give them pause, says Fandral. 'Tis a dark and dismal sight we see, for Loki hath gathered those who would destroy us, says Balder.
And we then shift scenes, and I guess we're in the back of the army of these giants, and we see Loki, and he's being carried on a litter by these kind of trollish looking beast creatures. I don't know. They're not really giants, but they're, I guess, the lackeys of the giants. And we got some very kind of elaborate armor and stuff on these guys.
The mountain giants will clear the way with ease.
Then trolls and gnomes and demons all shall follow. And Loki soon shall rule forever.
And we see the Warriors Three watching, and Volstagg is like,
he hath assembled about him the forces of evil.
To Thor, then, let us fly, for none but he can stop them.
And we shift scenes, and we're back on Earth, and Thor's flying across New York City, and he's, I guess, heading to his office or whatever. And he's saying to himself, 'Tis time to cast off gobbly raiment and become a mortal man once more, for there be tasks for Dr. Blake as well as God of Thunder. And he lands on the ground, and I guess he's getting ready to change back into Blake. But he sees somebody at the top of a building kind of waving at him.
But hold! Doth my Asgardian vision deceive me, or? Nay, by the golden gates I vow, 'tis she! 'Tis the one who owns the very heart of Thor, the goddess Sif, whose beauty still doth dazzle mine every sense.
And he kind of makes his giant leap to the top of the building. And Sif is up there, and she's wearing her, instead of wearing her like silver and red armor, she's kind of wearing silver and purple armor now. So I don't know if that's a miscoloring or I guess she can have more than one set of armor. I guess that's true.
But what errand brings thee here, my lady?
A mission most grievous and most grave, my lord.
Then I shall hear, but first one swift embrace to feed the gnawing hunger of my soul.
A hunger known to Sif as well, beloved, but we dare delay no longer. Thy lordly father hath begun his fateful Odin sleep.
'Tis folly, with Thor not there to guard his liege.
Thou knowest well, the sleep must be slept, if he is thy sire would remain immortal.
But Balder and his stalwart still be absent, and Loki stands alone. Thou didst well to summon me, milady, and now let us away.
And Thor does his Ajax White Tornado thing, and they kind of disappear in a burst of light.
To Asgard! To the fabled realm.
And they appear on the Rainbow Bridge, and they're kind of being surrounded by this orange smoke. You get a little bit of Kirby crackle and stuff there too.
And Sif is saying, the Rainbow Bridge, most beauteous sight in all the world.
Next to thee, fair Sif, says Thor. But now behold, an army doth approach. And they see there's a whole bunch of Asgardians, and they're racing outward from the city, and they're all, you know, dressed for war, and they're riding horses, and they've got these big cannons and shit. It's weird how they have, like, these laser cannons, and they're being drawn by horses on a cart. It's kind of this weird mix of, like, super futuristic and Old Norse. And one of the warriors is like, "Thine arrival is most timely, son of Odin, for we are sore besieged. No sooner had thy father's islands closed than Loki did attack the realm. So we go to guard the walls, to halt the invaders, or die a trying." "Then hear thee this, most noble warriors. Thou shalt not fight alone." And Thor and Sif are on the back of somebody's horse and kind of lunging forward. "In the name of Odin, onward!" And they're riding into the city, it's weird because it seemed like they were riding out of the city in the first few panels. Now it looks like they're riding into the city. So apparently the giants are already in the city. That makes not a lot of sense, but okay. "Even now, the sound of battle doth assail mine ears." And they're all these really futuristic, ornate Kirby buildings. And they're riding together on the same horse. But now Thor needs to, I guess, run off into battle by himself. And he basically just removes Sif from the horse and sets her down beside the horse. "'Tis here we part, my lady. I go to battle, and thou to the side of Odin, to guard him till he wakes."
"May fortune follow thee, my love."
And Thor's really aghast here. "Mountain giants, within the gates! If they be not stopped, we perish!" And so Thor joins the battle. He whips Mjolnir at the giant, knocks him right in the face. Then he kind of knocks his giant down. "But Asgard shall not perish."
"Death to the son of Odin," says one of the giants, as they kind of attack him with his club.
"I'll not be halted by the likes of thee. 'Tis Loki I must find." And just kind of avoiding the giant's blows. "Warriors, guard my flank, for time is of the essence." Thor's barking out orders to all the soldiers. "Stand fast against the limbs of the enemy, while Thor speeds to fell its head." And the Asgardian warriors, they have these bazookas. Yeah, I mean, they're not just fighting with swords and axes and shit. I mean, they've got like these big guns and stuff. So they've got this big shoulder launching bazooka thing, and it's going swoosh. And Thor's looking around for Loki because he knows Loki's in charge of all this. "'Twas Loki signaled yon attack. 'Tis only he can halt it."
"If thou would find the god of evil, thou must face him as a slave. This once the victory is his."
And a warrior on the back of this giant flying eagle dragon thing going to grab Thor. And I guess is carrying him towards Loki. I'm not really sure what's going on here. And we then cut to Loki, and he's in the middle of the battle, and he's being guarded by a bunch of these like trolls or whatever. They're wearing armor.
"The battle goes well. Methinks 'twill soon be ended. Then begins the reign of Loki."
And there's fighting going on all around Loki, but Loki's not really a hand-to-hand combat kind of guy, and so he's thinking to himself,
"But whilst the conflict continues, I'll steal away, for my moment supreme is almost at hand."
And he's going through like the secret gateway, and he's going through the walls of Asgard and secret passages and that kind of thing.
"None but Loki knows the hidden entrance to the chamber of Odin, for 'twas I who had secretly had it built, and then silenced those who did my bidding."
And he kind of slips into Odin's chamber, and he whacks one of the guards from behind, and I guess knocks him out. And he's kind of hiding behind the curtain, which is kind of hard to do when you've got those big old horns on your helmet.
"At last, my quest has ended," Loki thinks to himself. "I stand in the chamber where sleeps Lord Odin. And now, to take command."
And he steps out, and he sees Sif in there and a bunch of guards.
"Stand thou aside. The son of Odin speaks."
"Loki," says Sif.
"He dares come here?"
"In the name of Odin, run the traitor through."
"Thor has ordered," says Sif. "He must not pass."
"Fools, you dare not strike of me. Am I not the blood of Odin's blood? Am I not flesh of Odin's flesh?"
"The words he speaks are true. Though he be evil incarnate, He is prince of the realm, even as the noble Thor.
But he would usurp the throne. He would destroy the realm, says Sif.
For one, Sif is like the most sensible person in the room.
Mayhap, my lady. 'Tis not for us to judge.
Since she would defy the wish of Loki, I command thee, seize her. None may oppose the prince true-born.
And the guards grab Sif, which this is not very... I don't know. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me story-wise, but we'll get to that. And Loki is kind of looming above the sleeping Odin, and Odin is sleeping in his racing car bed, but he's not dressed in his adorable fur onesie. He's actually dressed like in armor and stuff.
And now, a universe is almost within my grasp,
Loki is thinking to himself.
On Odin's finger, the ring imperial, the symbol of power, which must be mine.
And we then shift back to the battle where Thor is fighting this dude on the dragon. And all of a sudden we see a mace kind of flying towards the dragon's face. And we recognize it as Hogan's mace. And it smashes the dragon right in the face. And it's like this big, huge explosion. I don't remember Hogan's mace actually being magic or anything. So it's kind of weird.
Hogan, thy mace strikes true as ever, says Thor.
And the dragon's kind of falling to the ground.
Long have we awaited thee, my prince. We knew thou wouldst not fail us.
And we see Volstagg is there, and he's kind of smashing all these evil monster soldiers.
Only six to try the might of Volstagg. Odd's blood, seekest thou to mock my prowess?
I see thee, says Thor, and Fendral and Volstagg as well. But what of noble Balder?
He doth battle like a demon beyond the golden gates.
So do you all, says Thor. So too shall Thor.
They fall back, my prince, before the fury of thy hammer.
But wait, what do I hear? The brazen blare of trumpets! The brazen blare of trumpets from the palace of our liege!
And there's all these guards, and they have these like weird French horn-looking things and weird brass instruments, and they're standing atop the palace. And Thor is saying, 'Tis the shrill and fateful call which heralds an end to battle. And they all kind of rush over to the palace, and they see Loki there, and Loki is dressed in this new fancy costume that's very not his normal costume, but it looks like something that Maximus the Mad would wear in the Inhumans.
Let all be silent, says Loki.
'Tis Loki, in the garb of the sovereign of the realm.
Well, not really. He's dressed like Loki with a little fur around his wrists and waist, and it looks like a cross between, like, Polar Boy and Loki.
Traitor, prepare to meet thy fate, says Volstagg.
So, we face each other once again, says Loki to Thor. But this time the power is mine. Guards, they shall not pass.
What madness is this, says Thor? Thou canst not rule whilst Odin lives.
None may say what Loki can do. None may dare tell Loki nay. For Loki doth wear the ring imperial. Thus Loki is the word and the law, and all who live are Loki's subjects.
We get a big full page picture here of Loki, and he's wearing the ring, and he's holding up one of his fingers. He really should be holding up his middle finger in this panel, but he's not. He's holding up his index finger. And you can see the big purple, gaudy purple ring that he's got. And it's weird, as of course, Loki is still keeping his yellow and green and purple color scheme here. But he's wearing this really fancy helmet and armor, and he's got a big M on his helmet, which means he stole it from Magneto or something. I'll talk more about the art as we get towards the end of the show, but it's very, very weird for this era for Kirby.
Monstrous villain, Lord of Evil, thou hast defiled the chamber of Odin. Thou hast stolen the ring whilst he did lie helpless and still. Such monumental infamy must not unpunished go. Asgardians, to my side. We fight until Loki falls. So speaks the God of Thunder.
And the guards are not going for this, interestingly enough. They're like,
though our hearts be with thee, noble prince, 'tis Loki who doth wear the ring. We cannot take arms against our liege.
But none would follow where Thor would lead?
The game is ended, says Loki. The prize is mine. Now thou too shall pay homage to thy brother Loki.
Before the ring imperial, I command thee, bow thy head.
Thor doesn't obviously do it. He's like,
you must obey. You have no choice. The goddess Sif is my prisoner. Defy me, and thou shalt see her nevermore.
By all the hosts of heaven and hell, if thou shouldst harm my lady.
Be silent, prince, says Hogan. "'Twill avail thee not. Now bow, or stand condemned as traitor to the realm.
Not all the passing of the ages shall erase the memory of this base ignominy.
And Thor bows to Loki, and you see the warriors three are bowing to him. And Loki just looks absolutely delighted by all this.
At last, I've won! Even the god of thunder hath yielded. Now begins the reign of Loki. Now let evil flourish o'er the world.
Next issue, Inferno. And that is Thor number 175. And of course, as always, we do have a few things to say about the issue, but first we have a promo from one of our friends.
Star Trek. Comic books. Mythology. Video games. Toys. Star Wars. Just about any geeky topic you can think of could be covered on the Hammer Podcast, presented by two true freaks. Come join me, Gene Hendricks, for whatever my disjointed mental processes can come up with. And be careful, or you might just learn something before we're done. The Hammer Podcast is available monthly, both on its own iTunes feed and at twotruefreaks.com.
And thank you, Gene Hendricks. And we are back. A below average issue of Thor, I have to say, both in the writing and in the art. The story really is nothing special at all. I mean, it's really kind of a story that we've seen before. It's a lot of rehash. And unfortunately, you know, these later Lee Kirby collaborations, they kind of are that. Evil Loki comes up with a plot, Odin's in the Odin sleep, steals drink, blah, blah, blah. Very by the numbers, and really nothing particularly special. Artwork in general is pretty good. There's a few signs here of Kirby just being lazy. I think that there's a lot of places here where the art looks really, really rushed. And certainly the scene transitions in this issue are really, really odd. We have scene transitions happening in the middle of a page. We have, sudden jumps in location in a way that don't really make sense. It's almost like both Lee and Kirby were kind of phoning it in on this issue, and that's really a shame because, they're always better together. There's a few particularly interesting pages art-wise. Hogan suddenly having his weird super mace is kind of a weird plot device, but it makes for a good three-panel sequence where, the mace comes flying from the reader's point of view and smashes this dragon in a really dynamic way. There's a lot of good art here, but there's also a lot of really, really lousy layout. And that's kind of a shame, too. I mean, I always like it when artists are working at their very best, and you can see from the faces of the characters in here, particularly the Warriors 3, that Kirby's heart was not really in it. All the depictions of Thor are kind of standard Kirby, and they look fine. But then you get the supporting characters, and they look really blocky, and they kind of spare. And you have a few examples of this, throughout the issue. I think Loki in this issue looks just really strange. He's looking all kind of stretched out and angular in a way that Kirby never really drew him before. And it's obviously Kirby is experimenting. He's trying different ways of drawing faces and things. And you can definitely see here the direction that Kirby's art is headed as he goes into his DC work in the next couple of years. So, unfortunately, not the greatest issue, but, fair enough. It's a boilerplate, by-the-numbers Marvel comic from 1970. And if that's the worst that you can say about it, then, it's still better than a lot of crap out there. All right, so that's about it for this week. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate you coming, and we love your support. And if you have any input, you can join our Facebook group, or, of course, you can email us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And with that, I am back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.